reading today is going to be taken from Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 beginning. Matthew 27, verse 11 beginning. It says, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.' And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Pilate said to him, 'How do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' And he did not answer him with regard to a single charge, so the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a message saying, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. The governor said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' And Pilate said, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?' He said, 'Crucify him.' And he said, 'What evil has he done?' And they kept shouting all the more, saying, 'Crucify him.'" Down to verse 33 now, it says, "And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which is the place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots. And setting down, they began to keep watch over him there." We might ask the question this morning as we see the small statement, "setting down, they watched him there." What do you think they saw? What do you think they saw? When we talk about Jesus, many times people might ask the question, "Well, what's so special? What's so special about Jesus?" We've seen different times to where he does many great things. When he calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples, they said, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" But as we try to recognize Jesus this morning, and as we go about the business of recognizing Jesus, a lot of people, they try to recognize Jesus by painting a picture of Jesus, although they don't know what Jesus looked like, but they might want to worship that picture. But when we look at what they saw this morning, just to give you some examples, the soldiers, they saw enjoyable violence. The Roman soldiers, they especially enjoyed being violent. You go back to especially Nero's time. We'll talk about the life of Paul again tonight. And during the latter half of Nero's life, he's sane during the first part of his life. He goes insane during the last part. But we see the enjoyable violence in the arena at Rome and maybe other places as well. For some, it might be that of the ruler Saul, might saw victory over the enemy. They had come to despise Jesus Christ. They hated where he came from. They hated the fact that he was a carpenter. They just seemed to hate everything about him. And finally, when it just finally came to a conclusion where he drove the money changers out of the temple, or he drove really the Sadducees out of the temple. They controlled the temple. When he drove them out of the temple, they said, we need to kill him. We're going to kill him basically this week. So they saw a victory over the enemy. One thief saw a miscarriage of justice over in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And in verse 39 through 43, Luke 23, verse 39 through 43. It says, one of the criminals who hang there was hurling abuse at him. Both of them were doing that at one time. But now one of them is hurling abuse at him. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, do you not even fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly for what we are receiving, what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus said, remember me. Said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said, truly today, you'll be with me in paradise. Some others might have saw their hopes dashed. When Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with two, we see in verse 17 beginning that context. Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 17. And he said unto them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, Cleophas, said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things that have happened here in these days? Jesus said to them, what things? And they said the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death, crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. So at least for a period of time, they evidently thought that their hopes might have been dashed. Jesus had fallen into the hands of the Romans and been crucified. Or maybe the women saw the death of their friend. Some little old lady years ago asked me this question. Can you ever name a single woman who ever mistreated Jesus? Can you name a single woman who ever mistreated Jesus? Well, when we think about Jesus, the idea of sitting down, they watched him there, Matthew 27, verse 36. We looked at what the people maybe saw back then. What do people see today? For some, it might be that they see some type of entertaining violence. When I was a kid, I lived really close to the fairground. And when I was a kid at the fairgrounds, when you go in the gate there on the left, they'd have a miniature golf course. They'd have a driving range.
They had a 9-hole golf course that ran to the back where Kentucky Kingdom is today. You could go over to the stadium, and many times as a teenager, go in there and watch different concerts. Maybe see a college game. I think even the Baltimore Colts played there a couple of times years ago, that old stadium. But then to the left of that stadium, if you were looking just straight at the Freedom Hall itself, you saw to the back at the left, there's a speedway.
Speedway, Fairgrounds Motor Speedway. And a lot of times they wouldn't have good crowds, but on the night they'd have great crowds, it was the figure eight. And at the figure eight, you know what they were hoping? They were hoping that people would crash. They were hoping that maybe even people might get hurt. And some people might have been even hoping that somebody would get killed. Because people, they enjoy violence. They think that violence is very entertaining. You know what the top film of all time watched is? You don't know. It's the Abraham Zapruder film of shooting Kennedy in the head. More people have watched that film than any other. Because they enjoy violence. Maybe it's the reason why people went to see the Passion of the Christ years ago. Because people heard that it was a violent, violent movie. But some see it as an excuse for racial hatred. Some hate the modern Jews because of the condemnation of Jesus Christ. We see back in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 23 it says, "This man delivered over by a predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death." Oh yeah, the Romans, they did the crucifying. But it was because of the envy of the Jews. They sent him there. Some see Roman rule in operation. Some just love to look at the historical aspects of Jesus' life, especially that of the crucifixion. They just enjoy that. And some see a man who died for his principles. Here's a man that stood up for what he believed in and was willing to go to the cross. And that's all they see. So we understand that we should see more than this. We know who he is. This isn't some miscalculation of some kind. We understand that before the foundation of the world, this event was planned. From Ephesians chapter 1. No doubt a sad event. Maybe it brings tears to the eyes of some people. Just as a footnote, I don't think that people are too emotional about it anymore like they were at one time. Maybe that tells us something about society. But you and I hopefully believe in Jesus. And as we look at this morning, just for a couple of minutes, as they sit there and watched him, these are things that we ought to see. Number one, we ought to see the sinfulness of man. The cross itself is evidence of man's sinful heart. I guess there's never been a more cruel form of execution brought by Alexander the Great as he fought against Carthage and brought crucifixion into being during that time, it seems like. When we execute a prisoner today, we want to make it as quick and as painless as possible, it seems like. At least we try to do that in our society today. But the cross was designed for the opposite effect. It was public. It was next to a road where people would just walk by or ride by and watch. Usually, people were stripped down to almost nothing as they were crucified. So there was some sort of shame many times involved. And no doubt the fact of suffering. But this cross, the crucifixion of the only perfect man who ever lived. What brought it about? We read in the beginning of our lesson this morning, envy. Pilate said, Pilate saw for envy that they delivered him up. We see the greed, the avarice of Judas Iscariot. Have you ever envied? I don't think any of us would crucify Christ. I don't think we would take a hammer and nails and nail it into his hands, into his feet. But would we destroy maybe the character of someone, especially on social media today, with the power that we have with social media, that you can destroy someone's life in just a matter of moments. Have you ever been cowardly? Not stood up for Jesus? Also, the inadequacy of the law. Why did Jesus have to die? God had given a law. Law given by God has to be good. Because God's good. And he's the source of everything that is good. But law doesn't justify. Law condemns. Still does the same thing today. Still condemns. We all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. There's nothing law can do. Why the cross? Because we have a violation of the law, which can be corrected now because of the cross. And man can be justified now. Law simply cannot save sinners. We see the seriousness of sin. When you sit and you watch, you look. Maybe you're on the side of the road watching the cross. You can understand the seriousness of sin by the penalty that is attached. That's true of crime. something that's serious, there's going to be a great penalty. What penalty was attached to sin? Solomon, during the time that he became king, he went out there and he sacrificed 120,000 animals. But Hebrews 10:4 says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 16, Genesis 2 verse 16, as he's talking to Adam and Eve, it says Genesis 2 and in verse 16, it says, the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. The death of Christ required the ability to take away every sin that has ever been committed. If anyone would just come to the Lord and obey Him. No matter what that sin is. No matter how terrible that sin has been. Come to the Lord, obey Him, and be forgiven. The majesty of God's justice. Can't God do everything? Yes. Everything consistent with His nature. Everything consistent with God's nature, God can do. Surely, God could just wipe away the sins of man. God is just, and a just penalty be made when a law is broken. But justice demanded. Justice demanded the penalty be paid. That penalty be death. And not the death of a bull or goat. Perfect sacrifice. The extent of God's love. The cross fully defines the love of God. And lastly here, the trauma of conversion. I've used that term and heard that term a lot over the years, but I never had really looked it up. The word trauma, it means shock, producing a lasting psychic effect. That's the purpose of the cross. That's the purpose of the cross, to have an effect on your thinking. If you come to one service a week on Sunday morning and you partake of the Lord's Supper, that's less than 1%. That's less than 1% of your week. That means you have 99% to yourself. But does that supper have an effect on your thinking? If you come to all four services, it's only a little bit over 2% of your time. Does it have an effect? Does it have an effect on your thinking? He says in Galatians and in chapter 5 and verse 24, Galatians 5, in verse 24, Galatians 5 and verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Is that the kind of life you're living? I like a lot of the songs in the songbook. This song isn't in our songbook. It was written by Bill Gaither years ago. He says, "Today I went down to the place I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Then I went down to the house where we used to live. My little girl ran behind the door. Like so many times before, I said, honey, you don't need to be afraid. You got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore." You can come to God this morning in humble obedience, buried with Christ in baptism, or to come back to your first love. I invite you to come right now while together we stand and sing. We beg you to come.